God, the lower you are, it doesn't work. Help me. They weren't doing that. They were praying to the God of their Lord Jesus Christ, who have saved them and delivered them from death to life, out of darkness into light. Even in the midst of the prison, it's possible to pray a prayer of faith. Because it's the prayer of faith that delivers you, not the prayer of complaining. Hallelujah. And listen to me. As soon as you pray the prayer of faith, joy enters up into your heart.
Come on.
You understand that, don't you? Joy comes.
Yes.
He said there's tears at night, but in the morning there's joy. What happened? Listen to me. What does the morning bring? It brings the sun. In the natural, the S-U-N. In the supernatural, the S-O-N. He comes at the midnight hour. To those who are praying the prayer of faith, I know you're with me, Lord, in the midst of this trial. I know you have not left me nor forsaken me. I know your word is absolutely true, for you are the living word, and you cannot lie. I thank you, Father, for your provision. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Prayer of faith.
My God. Thank you, Lord.
Come on now. The prayer of faith produces joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
You're able to endure and press on because God is with you in the midst of the battle.
Yes. Yes.
Well, why didn't he just deliver me out of it? I don't know. Why did he allow Paul and Silas to go into prison? I don't know. Maybe it's for our sake they did. Because he's showing us something in the midst of it. Amen? That's still working. Hey, my friends, in the natural prison and in the prison of the spiritual realm where you are walking in kind of a daze and kind of confused, not sure where to go, what to do, how to do it. But when you turn to the one who does know, if you turn to the light in the midnight hour, the light will shine a path for you to follow. And it'll produce in you a joy. And that joy will cause you to sing. All of a sudden, you'll burst out in song. Hallelujah. Come on now. And you don't need a band. You don't even need more people. All you need is you and God. And do you think his angels will be there with you in the midnight? Yes, they are. He has given us ministering spirits to help us in our time of need. Come on now. Lord, I need somebody else to sing with me. Help me. And all of a sudden, you may not hear it with your natural ears, but you'll recognize the Spirit of God's here. He's raising up a voice. Hallelujah. It's real. It's not a fantasy we're talking about here. Look at this. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Amen? People are listening to you.
Uh-huh.
You go to work and you complain.
That's right.
You go someplace else, you complain about what's going on here, what's going on there. The nation right now is at the midnight hour. And they are searching for people that others can listen to. Because the lies are prevalent out there. The lies are going on all around us. People are going to listen to you. You don't think they're listening. When you're around non-believers and you act and talk just like them, they're watching and they're listening. And what it does is when you act and talk like them, it justifies a reason for not coming to Christ. It will do it every time. If they had been there, the other prisoners would have shut down, gone to sleep. Oh, they're just like everybody else. No, there's something different here. They're in the same type of jail I'm in. I'm right across from them, and I can see them. They're in jail, too. They're going through the same stuff. Matter of fact, they've probably been beaten worse than I have been. How is it possible that they can get down on their knees and pray in a time like this? No. Hallelujah. Suddenly, when you caught up into heaven, suddenlies are normal. Because there is no time in heaven. When you have entered into the kingdom of God, in the realm of the kingdom, into the spirit realm, it becomes suddenly because you are not watching for it. You've got your eyes on the things above. It's only suddenly to those who are down here. God had to put suddenly in there because it was for our sakes. You understand? They were caught up in the heavenly places. They were seated at the right hand of Jesus. They weren't in the prayer, in that cell. They were there physically, but not spiritually. Who they are, spirit. Their spirit was caught up with Christ in heaven. To the world, it looked suddenly. To them, it was just a normal course. They've been up there for a while. The moment they got down on their knees and started praying, they left the jail cell and entered into the kingdom because they came into the throne room of God, the God of grace and mercy. He said, come to me in that hour of your need, for I am helpful. I'll help you in your time of need. They were petitioning God in heaven, and their bodies were in a prison cell. Hey! Is it possible? Is it possible that we can live in this realm and not be of this realm? That we can be seated with him in heavenly places? What's it going to take? Some prayer of faith and some true worship. Come on now. God says it. He says, oh yeah, their lips are close to me, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts should be with him up there. But their hearts were yearning to be out of the prison cell. Paul and Silas' heart was to be yearning to be with him. How do we know that? Because they weren't affected by what was around them. They were in an ugly place, man. They were in the normal sense, they would have been like everybody else. Complaining and snoring and whining. Oh. But they weren't. It reminds me of part of the message that I want to bring to you, and I didn't intend to go this way. I didn't intend in any of this. Was David. David was a man after God's own heart. David had opportunity after opportunity to kill the one who was attacking him. But because his heart was with God, even though his body was there, he refused to allow his body to determine what his heart was going to do. He made his body do what his heart determined to do. Want to learn how to deal with sin? Have a heart after God. The more you desire him, the less you'll desire this. Think about it. What's your first love? Whew. This is heavy. Spirit of God is ministering right now to people. Because every one of us in some way is in a prison. Every one of us has something inside that's holding them. We talked about yokes, if you want, or whatever it is. But God is saying, I came to set you free. I came to set you free. I didn't come to bind you up with all rules and regulations on how to act, how to talk, and all that. But when you're free, you will do exactly as my spirit guides you into. He doesn't force you to do it, but he invites you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. When these things start breaking, it's going to be earth-shattering. people are going to recognize there's something different. What happened to you? There is going to be an earthquake. It's going to be a tremendous breaking. And it's not going to be quiet. It's going to be loud. Maybe not to other people, but to you. When sickness is broken off of you, it's loud. I'm free. I'm free. You may say, I'm healed. I don't care what you say. But the truth is, when sickness is gone, you're free. Amen? There's an earthquake going on inside of you. I'm free. Yeah. You understand. Maybe to the world they don't notice it. Maybe to other people they don't notice it. But you do. Because suddenly I was sick. Now I'm healed.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Listen, the moment, the manifestation of that in the physical realm, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's already manifested in the spirit. You understand? You're already healed. Amen. It's not like I got to be, I just hope it's something. No. The moment I asked him in the prayer of faith, got down on my knees, I said, Lord, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. You have healed me. I give you praise for it. I give you glory for it. It's done. If you believe it. Yeah, but I still, it don't matter. See, now you got to get back down on your knees again. Because you didn't receive it. Amen? Where there's doubt, you said you become a double-minded man, you should never receive anything of the Lord. So when you get on your knees and pray the prayer of faith, it's done.
Amen.
You understand? It's done. Yeah, but doubt comes in. Doubt will come because the enemy will always sow doubt into your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to deal with that doubt. You need to cast it down. You need to reject it. Cast it off. No. I know where you came from, doubt. I know where you came from. You came from the liar. My father said I was healed when I asked for it. Don't tell me I'm not. I know I am. For by his stripes I was healed. This is a living a life not like the rest of the world. This is not the life that you want to build on the rock. I mean, this is the life you want to build on the rock. You don't want to live on sifting sands where every time something changes, you change. No. You've already been made perfect. You've already been made holy. Now I'm just going to live my life the way God intended me to live it. That's just all this is. I refuse to get back on the sifting sand. That's the flesh. The flesh is one moment happy, the next that moment it's sad. The one moment it's filled with, exaltation, yet the next moment it's filled with depression. That's the sifting sands of life. After a while, you got to get tired of that. After a while, you got to say, no, my life is on the rock. I will not be moved.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back here. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Those things that's got you bound, I don't care what it is, they'll start crumbling. In other words, when sickness was the focus of your life, now health is starting to come in and go in. I was watching a program the other day. Good example. It's called Gold Rush. Anybody ever watch that? All right. Well, they dug up, and they're digging in this place, and right in where they want to dig, there's a boulder. Now, I'm not talking about a small boulder. That boulder was big. I mean, bigger than this, probably as big as this building maybe here or whatever. Big. A 700 cat couldn't move it. That's a big boulder. So what'd they have to do? They went and drilled some holes in it, the whole length of it. Then they went and bought this compound. And it's a compound that is needed and works by expansion. You had to add water to the compound, which is something like the Holy Spirit. Amen? The compound you could call the Word of God. mm-hmm. They mixed the compound with the water. They went along and poured it in and filled each hole up. And then they backed off and went to bed. Remember what he said? The word is sown. Doesn't know how it grows, but they went to sleep and woke up in the morning and found that something has happened, something's growing. When you place the seed in those holes, you add the water, something's going to happen. You may not see it at the moment. They woke up the next morning. The thing was split in half. And they were able to get rid of it. Here's what's happening in Peter, or Silas and Paul. They're in the prison. They're praying. They're worshiping God. Why are they worshiping God? Because I said they're filled with joy, but something else they're filled with that he didn't mention. Thanksgiving. They were thanking God that he heard their prayers. They weren't, I don't believe, now maybe I'm wrong, I could be entirely wrong. I don't believe they were focused on getting out of prison. They were focused on, you understand? The result of that is getting out of the prison. The results of that compound and water working together broke it. What he said here, look what he said here. He said, listen. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. That rock was broken in half. That's what happens. All of a sudden, those things that have you bound start getting loosened. They may not go right that second. But as long as you do not place them back in the hole. In other words, you don't go back and start complaining and start doubting and start fearing what God has done. And you say, oh, this isn't working. If you don't do that, it will work. Amen? It will work. It starts shaking. Things start happening. We don't understand how. We don't understand where it's coming from. We don't understand all that. Why? Because we're caught up in heavenly places. We're not focused down here. Others are starting to see the change. Those prisoners could feel the earthquake. I guarantee you, Paul and Silas didn't feel a thing. When Stephen was being stoned, it says that he was looking and he could see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. What was happening? Stephen was no longer in the body. He was already in heaven. They killed the body, but the grace of God removed Stephen. I believe that for every Christian. The body is going through stuff, but the spirit. Amen? Look what he goes on to say. The prison were shaken, the foundations of it, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Not only will you be affected, but everybody else was affected by it. Their prayers, their worship of God affected the rest of the people in that prison. Don't you know that your testimony will help so many other people? When you've been set free, when you've been healed, when you've been delivered, when you have... Come on. Your word of your testimony will set so many people free. Because it's a testimony of the goodness of God. And the power of God. Amen? Paul wrote, he said, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. No, first he said this, Father, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Open the eyes of their understanding. They will know what is the hope of their calling. How many of you know you were called for a purpose? Y'all got purpose. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. I'll tell you what your purpose is. It's to pray and worship. Then let God do what he's got to do with you to get you to do what you can do to help others. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Open the eyes of their understanding. They would know what is the hope of their calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? We got an inheritance in us. But you know whose inheritance it is? It's his. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's his inheritance that we are connected to. What is the exceeding greatness of the power toward those who believe? You've got great power available to you. Great, 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 great power. More powerful than the atomic bomb. Available to you. To all of us. How many are operating in that power today? You want to? Start getting on your knees and start worshiping Him. All of a sudden you'll enter into the power room, the power source. When we stand before Jesus and we see God on the throne up there, Jesus up there, we're going to come into the presence. Look, you don't think something's going to be different? Amen. If you've been spending time in the throne room of grace and mercy, don't you think there might be something different when you come out? Amen. Jesus stood on the earth. And he said, Moses and my brain, Elijah, thank you. My brain just went freeze. Stop. What happened? Jesus was on the earth. He came away and he was all covered in the glory of God. Moses went up on the mountain. He came down, his face shone so much he had to put a covering over it. If we go into the throne of grace, do you think maybe just a little bit something happened? When we come out of there, our countenance is just a little bit different than the frown we usually carry? Come on now. What did he say about them? He could tell they'd been spending time with Jesus. Remember? These were just simple folk. The apostles were just simple folk. They weren't somebody, you got to have this and you got to be that. No, they were just simple folk. Fishermen, tax collectors, people. Just nobody. But it says they understood there was something special about them because they spent time with Jesus. Do you think maybe if we would spend more time with him, suddenly the things that have kept us and bound us all these years would be broken off and we'd come out of there singing and praising and worshiping him? Look, the word is true. You have to know the word. But I'm going to tell you, the word without your bringing the word to the master has no power. In your prayers, you don't just go and pray, oh, Lord, I'm just so tired and I'm so weary and nothing seems to work and I'm just trying this and that and it don't work and I tried that and the pastor said this and I did it and it didn't work. That's not it. It's bringing the word of God. Father, you said, and you're not a liar. I know if you said it, I know that I can believe for it. You're going to him in faith. You're going to him with boldness. And you're coming out of there singing and dancing and rejoicing. Glory to God. This is fun. All right, let me finish this here. The doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. I want to reedify this, restate this, re-what? Really strengthen this. Guys, your lives will affect others. You understand? Your lives will affect others. Think about it. We got loved ones we want to see saved. We got people. When you come out of the presence of God, presence of Jesus, you come out of that prayer closet, you come out of there, there's something going to happen to you. You're going to be rejoicing. They're going to say, what are you singing about? Look at what's going on around us. Look at all these things. Yeah. Watch. Suddenly things are going to change. Something's going to happen. What's going to happen? I'm going to worship my God. That's the first thing that's going to happen. Then let's wait and see what happens. Your faith is not moved or changed by what other people say or think. Something happens. I'm a new creation. Man, I got a joy that's beyond understanding. I don't know. And I know this, even as bad as it looks, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. What seems impossible for us God has made possible through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And his word has told us, if we can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And I know I'm a believer. And God will honor my faith with his promise being fulfilled. Be bold. Say it. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, if you go like, well, if it doesn't work, it won't. It only works when you believe it works. And belief means no doubt. No double-mindedness. No question. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care what anything you say. I believe it. And because I believe it, amen. God said he'd do it.
Yes. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
There's going to be a shaking. Because you are caught up in heavenly places, you're not going to be affected by the shaking. Because the shaking is meant to loose you from the bonds that have you bound, from the chains. The things that you thought would never be moved will be removed. What seems upon you, you've been struggling against this thing forever. All this came out of worship. I don't have any notes for this. It all came out of worship. I couldn't even find the scripture. I was looking through it while I was there. By the grace of God, he showed us. He said, these things aren't impossible. This wasn't meant just for them. That wasn't meant because you're in a physical prison. It might be that too. You could be thrown in jail for your testimony. Do you know in Canada right now, preaching the gospel, the full gospel of Christ, can land a preacher in jail? If you speak up against homosexuality, it's called, and it has been made, hate speech. And you could be thrown in prison for it, even at the pulpit. This stuff is real. It's getting closer all the time. God has given us an opportunity here. He's also training us up. Get ready about the storms. Remember, we talked about that back in September. We started this thing. But God has given us grace. God's mercy is new every morning. The power of God has not been held back from us. We just haven't entered into it. We're the ones. God hasn't said to you, I'll give you the power. You, I'm not going to give power to. And you, I will give a little bit of power. No. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body. Don't tell me there isn't power to cause him to come up out of that grave. And he said, if you can't do it, he said, I'll help you. I will send ministering spirits, angels, to help you to fulfill your purpose. And so what the angel did was he moved the stone, a physical object that kept the very presence of God separated from the people. We got angels working for us here. We have angels that work. Come on now. They wanted to keep us out. But the angel did something and helped us stay in the building here. Amen? Glory to God. So Jesus shows us how much he loves us by laying down his life for us. He had to do that so that we could have the power of God to win the victory down here over the flesh and the devil. Hallelujah. Where am I? Should I go into my message a little bit? I'll go into a little bit. This isn't even my message, the one I'm bringing you. It's what God told me to bring to you before I came out of the office. So this isn't even what I had prepared. But I want to bring it to you real quick. We got time here. Please give me a moment. I want to bring you to Romans, where do you want to start? 7. We've been there, but we're going back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to start in verse 13. He's talking about the law, okay? He said, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly no, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that the sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, commandments of God were given to man. Man was incapable of doing those things that God commanded him to do. And so even though the commandment from God was good, it produced in us sin because we did not have the ability to do all that he asked us to do. Amen? Man wasn't capable of it. To live according to God's precepts, according to God's laws, we were not capable of living. No man is. The only one that ever did was Jesus Christ. That's it. So if you're trying to live that life, you will fail. Wow, where does that leave us? Amen? God doesn't want you dependent upon your own ability. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to put your trust in him, not in you. Boy, I struggled with this a lot of years. Trying over and over and over. And every time I tried, I'd fail. For a while, I can do it. It's like those New Year's resolutions. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. They'll last for about a week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But then, forgotten all about it. Those diets we try. I went on a diet, lost 50 pounds. And as soon as I got to where I thought I wanted to be, I went off it and put back on 60. I'm serious. The things of the flesh will ultimately fail every time. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. You sow to the spirit, you reap life. What are we talking about? We want God's life.
Amen.
So the flesh profits nothing. All our works, God said, are like filthy rags. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's get back to this. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul's writing this, by the way. Hallelujah. First thing, you want to deal with sin in your life? Admit it, that you have sin. First thing, you got to admit it. And if you're not willing to admit, oh, I don't sin, okay, then you call God's word a lie, because he said all sin and fall short of the glory. We all have sin. Look, in us, in each and every one of us, even the born again ones, well, I'll say the born again ones have it, not the ones who aren't born again, they only got one nature. But the born again people have two natures. The old one and the new one. Amen? Let me ask you a question. You ever sin the sins that you used to sin? And I'm not asking you to think about the big ones or what you call big. As we came away from last week, we talked about the sins of the flesh. Remember that? When in Galatians 5? But the Lord told me, he said afterwards, he said, the most important thing is the sins of the heart. The sins of the flesh are just a result of the sins that are hidden in the heart. Then he said the biggest one is the sin of pride. That's me. That's me. I have a problem with pride. I'll probably say 99.9% of us in here have problems with pride. Because you won't even go to God, who nobody else here, and tell him the truth. Because as soon as you do, you know that you are less than who you think you are. When you go to him, name that sin too. He said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you lust after her in the heart, you've already committed adultery. So when you go to him and you've lusted after some other woman or some other man, tell him you're an adulterer. Okay. Now we're dealing with sin. We're getting right down to the bottom of it. Notice something, though. This, in God's eyes, and I told you the story about when Jesus, and in a vision, it was so clear. Remember, I told you I was a little lamb walking along next to Jesus? And my wool was pure white. I mean, it was whiter than any white I've ever seen. Pure white. My hooves were still black. And I'm prancing alongside of him. And I was so proud because I was next to Jesus. And now, it wasn't a bad pride. It really wasn't. It was just the fact I'm walking next to Jesus. And when he looked at me, he looked at me with such a look that I've never, ever seen on anybody's life. It was a look of total, total acceptance. Anybody ever look at you that way? Total acceptance. They don't see any of your faults. They don't see anything at all. Even the hidden things that are in your heart. I didn't see anything like that. It was just like, and I know what it was. It was pure love. But the way I received it was, I was total acceptance. And I looked at him and I said, oh, man. I can't even tell you how he looked. How that look was. And I can't even tell you what he looked like. I'm just telling you. He was there. He was in a robe, yes, but he was there. And so I understood, and I learned this over many years now because I had a problem with it before. Learning the difference between the spirit and the flesh. And I had these black hoods. And there was another dream I had, and God showed me I was in pure white up here. I had a pure white shirt on, but black pants. I struggled with that stuff. Hey, thank you, Lord. Is that true? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, he just told me so. I'll tell you in a second. All right, so I'm walking along, and all of a sudden the Lord looks at me. He said, Dave. I don't think he said Dave. I think he just, and he didn't open his mouth. He said, do you really think your sins are that big? He said, I took all the sins of the world. He said, if I take your sin and put it with all the rest, I can't even see it. Ooh. Those things I saw were so big and so mammoth, and I cried to him and I, help me, Lord, I can't, and I repent and I do it again and whatever. In his eyes, it's not that big a deal. Now, do I need to do what 1 John 1:9 says? Confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive you? Absolutely. Do I say, okay, I can go sin, it doesn't matter. He sees the truth. And if you use that as to go sin, as I said last week, it's not a get out of jail free card. Amen. If you are truly, truly as David was, a man after God's own heart, your sole purpose in life is to please him. It's not to please your mate. It's not to please the people around you. To please him. If you do that, you will be pleasing to the world. They may not accept it. They may reject it. And they may even abuse you for it. But when you come out, you'll come out praising him. Now here's what the Lord said to me. Hallelujah. Just when I was talking. Now I want you to understand something. When I talk like this, I talk with the understanding I have no power over sin myself. You understand that? None. If it was left up to me, I'd fall back and do the same things over and over and over again. I'm going to show you in a second in the scripture here. But because of Christ, I'm not perfect. And you know that. And there's parts in my life that I'm not seeking him fully as I should be. But from that last dream to this point here with the little lamb, my seeking the Lord has increased. Do you understand what I'm saying? Back then when that dream was, I had these black pants like this on. So from here down, it was all black. Now, Only my hooves are black. You understand, it's not my work, it's not me. Trust me, please believe me. It has nothing to do with me. It's my seeking the Lord. And I don't seek him as much as I should. He doesn't seek him the best way I should. I should do better, I should do more. But he's working something out in me. He's the one who's working on me, not me. It's Christ working in me, or God working in me, to will to do those things that please him. I want him. I ask him, please continue. Work in me. Please, please. Continue to work in me to want to please you. Because I've lived my life to please myself for too long. And I've seen what it's brought. But he's doing something. Hallelujah. I got to go on quick, please. Let me go back here. 15. Okay. Let me go in 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. I don't get this. For what I will to do, in other words, what I want to do, that I do not do or practice. But what I hate, that I do. I hope you hate your sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Sin is good for a season. It'll make you feel good. But there's always death at the end of it. The devil promises you life and gives you death. God promises you death and gives you life. Listen to what he goes on. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me, that old nature sin. Is there sin dwelling in each one of us? Yeah. But listen, I'm going to show you something here in a minute. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. See, he separated the spirit from the flesh here. I'm not sinning. My spirit isn't sinning, but my flesh is still working at it. All right. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Ooh, you see the battle going on here? For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, but the one who wills to do good. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. In other words, evil is still present with me, even though I will to do what's good, what God wants me to do. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Here's what the Lord showed me. He said, David, Satan's been defeated. So stop blaming Satan. The war is your flesh and your spirit. You're fighting right there. The battle is right there in the flesh and the spirit. You understand that? There's a war going on. Satan's been defeated. You, come on now. You wake up in the morning. It's a beautiful sunny morning on Sunday morning. It's sunshine. It's about 60 degrees. It's going to be 80 degrees. Your garden needs to be hoed. Your lawn needs to be mowed. You want to go for a picnic. All these things are going on. But in your heart, your heart is saying, but you should be in the body of Christ. You should be worshiping with them. You should be walking with them. You should be at church this morning. And there's a war going on between the two. Who wins? We understand many times the flesh is powerful. The flesh is powerful. Now listen to me. There's all kinds of excuses to come along with this. All right? You're saying, okay, I want to get into church. But your mate's saying, come on, let's go for a picnic. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Yeah, but we should be at church. You know, God's got purpose for us. We got to be a reason. There's a reason we were put in there. There's a reason he called us before the foundation of the world. There's a reason why the Spirit of God has filled us. It's not just to go do what we want to do. Can you do that? Yes, you can. The good news is you have all the rights and privileges. It's yours. But is that what God wants for your life? The more we allow the flesh to win the victory over our decisions, the easier it becomes to live in the flesh than by the Spirit. Every time we give in to the flesh, he becomes a little bit more powerful. And we justify it. We make excuses for it. Oh, we worked all week. I need some rest. Excuse me. There's a rest for man, for the church to enter into. Hebrews 4, go there. There's a rest that God has for you. And it's for your soul. Because if your soul is at rest and your spirit's at rest, the body will follow. But when we try to cut in between what God intended for rest and what the flesh intends for rest, we have a war, and we have to make a decision whether you're going to walk by the Spirit and fulfill the lust, or walk by the flesh and fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's really one of two ways. Either the life we're trying to build on the rock, or the life we're allowed to live here in this world, and God will allow it. Now let me say this to you. God will allow it up to a certain point. Then he's going to get a hold of you. Because if you're truly one of his children, he ain't going to just let you go. He's going to kick the slack right out of you. You got a rope around your neck. He's going to yank on you. Things will start going wrong. Things will start going south. Things aren't working out. And you'll wonder, what's going on here? God's got a way of getting your attention. When he went into Egypt, he wanted to get the attention of the Pharaoh. He did, didn't he? You think he can get your attention, my attention? Lord, I could go on for a month here. Okay, let me finish, please. Okay, thank you. So there's a battle going on. There's a war going on. Hallelujah. But I see another law at work. 24, Paul's writing. He's recognizing the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Whether we like to believe it or not, as you start this path of walking in the flesh, it leads to destruction or death, or in what it is, a separation from God. That's what happens. He no longer is your first love. What you're doing in the flesh becomes your first love. And whatever it takes to do that, you will do. Whatever the cost. Well, it's not sin. But it leads to sin. When Saul came back after doing, he came back after what he was instructed to go and kill. Whoever. I've forgotten. So I'll tell you, sometimes I get brain freezes here. And he came back. He was supposed to kill all of them. He was supposed to take all the spoil and destroy it. And he came back and Samuel said to him, how'd it go, Saul? Saul says, I did exactly what God told me to do. Really? How come I hear the sheep? And he still let the king live. How come? I thought God told you to do this, this, and this. Yeah, but the people wanted me to do that. No, Saul, it was your flesh that wanted you to do that. And your flesh caused you to disobey God. And he said, I took from you, or God took from you, the right to be a king. You are called to be kings and priests. It doesn't mean you're not saved. But the right to walk in the power of God can be removed. And the way it's removed is you remove yourself from it. God never takes anything back that he gives. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Okay, back up. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, he recognized the truth. He recognized the battle in the flesh. He recognized the weakness of the flesh. He recognized the things he wanted to do, he wasn't doing. The things he should do, he didn't do. Oh, but oh, man, I can't. I fought this war. I can't win it. He's saying, I'm not winning it. I'm losing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What is it going to take for us to have the victory over sin? Nothing but Jesus Christ. You try it on your own, you will fail miserably. If you rejoice and think in yourself, well, look at me, I don't do this and I don't do that. Just before the fall comes pride. But when we humble ourselves before God, we come to him and say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. And he says, what did you do wrong? I don't know. I don't think I did anything wrong today. I'm not sure, but I'm sure. If there's sins of omission or sins of commission, some things I should have done, I didn't do. For instance, did I make God first in my life today? He's supposed to be our first love. Did I do that? If God commanded us not to forsake the gathering of the saints, did I do that? Oh, he doesn't care about those things. Okay. Remember, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Every time we give in to the flesh, it gains more power over us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his love, the power, Father God, of trust and faith in you, Lord, that comes out of your word and out of your spirit and out of the blood of Jesus Christ, out of the life of Jesus Christ. Father, fill us with that life. Fill us with that hunger and thirst for you. Fill us, Father God, to know you, to walk with you. Father, I bind the spirits of darkness and the demon who lies and causes the untruth to be believed rather than the truth. I pray, Father, if this word is your word, it'll go deep into the heart of each and every one of us, that we may, Father, turn from darkness to light, that you will continually work in us to will to do those things that please you. That we will spend more time in prayer, more time in worshiping you. That we truly will make you our first love again. That we'll seek you as David was said to be a man after God's own heart. When we're all said and done on this earth, if there is a gravestone, Father, I pray that written on there for all of us was, this person was a man after God's own heart. I pray that could be written for me, Father, for all of us here. And we again acknowledge, Father God, it's not by might nor by power, but by your gracious spirit that we're able to enter into this. Help us, Lord. Father, we are weak, but you are strong. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength to overcome the flesh, to resist the temptation, to deliver us from evil, to bring us into the very presence of the living God. We thank you for these things, Father. In the mighty name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Your provider, and you provided us with your Lord, with Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I think we have a few announcements if you give us a couple minutes. Hello?